I'm with Ken from DTW, Development Technology Workshop. I hope I've got that right, Ken. And you guys are based in Cambodia.
Yeah, nice to see you.
Okay.
I'm Ken. I work for Development Technology Workshop. Mm-hmm. And I come here with some brailers and walking cans.
Okay. And can we look at the things you have on display here?
Yes.
Okay.
We got here the first prototype of the brailer.
Okay, so this is a very small unit. This is an early brailer. So you guys, is this here for just to show people, or are you selling these, or what's the?
We are not ready to sell all these devices yet.
You are, because, or you're not
yeah,
yet.
Because we just step off a bit off from development phase.
Okay.
We spent about 3 years to develop this.
Yep. So this is a very small, because most people will be familiar with a standard Perkins brailer,
yeah.
I would imagine. And so this is quite a long, sort of thin unit. It's quite a long distance between the left and right end. And so that feels wider than a standard brailer to me. Is that right?
It's not very much wider than Perkins.
Okay. Right.
How it works? It works similar to Perkins. The only big difference is the carriage moving on this machine.
Right, okay. Yeah. So it's more like a typewriter. So it's the actual roll that the paper goes around moves, and then the head, the embossing head, actually stays static in the middle. So it's more like a conventional QWERTY typewriter.
That's right.
Okay, and this is something you've developed yourselves, is this?
No, I make it with the other guys, British guy called Harold Pearson.
Okay.
He's the designer, and he helped me to do the production tooling.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's try and type something on here or braille something on here and see how it sounds. Do you want to just hold my microphone for a second?
Okay.
I'll need two hands to braille.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to write ACB Radio's web address. So I'm going to put www.acbradio.org. Well, that's interesting.
Sorry.
Okay, somebody's already written on the line previously.
Yeah.
But it's not a problem. Let's go back. So I wind it down, and then I move the carriage.
Again, the carriage manually.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So I'm back to the beginning of the next line. I should have looked to see if anyone had written on the paper first, really. Okay. Let's try this again then. www.acbradio. I think I might have made a mistake, but not to worry. .org. There we go. And I mean, the quality of the braille is fine.
You know,
the quality of the braille is as good as that I've seen from any Perkins. I'm just feeling over the top to feel the braille. And so the carriage actually moves along, whereas the actual embossing head stays still. And that's the key difference, I guess, between this and a Perkins brailer.
That's right.
Why did you feel that there was a need to develop a new braille writer that wasn't a Perkins? Why did you feel that there was a need to do that?
We need to do that because most of the people in developing countries,
yes,
they complain about the price of the Perkins. It's too high, and they cannot afford to buy that. So we try to make this machine as simple as possible and as low cost as possible. So in the school, they can buy for every student.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's the idea. Anyway, we want.
So that's your. And what's this machine called now? This braille writer?
It's called World Brailer at the moment.
World Brailer.
Yeah.
It's a World Brailer, folks. And how much would this cost then if somebody wanted to buy one of these? Then you're saying it's a cheaper option to a Perkins.
Yeah, it will cost $125. It's about 700 rands.
Yeah, about 700 rands. That's about £70 in the UK, so considerably cheaper than a standard Perkins brailer.
Yeah.
And so obviously this is much more affordable for people living in developing nations.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. So let's move on and see what else you have here.
The other thing is the cane.
Yeah. I've been given two canes, and I'm trying to hold my own under my arm, so this is interesting. Right, I'll tell you what we'll do. If I give you one back, do I need both of them? Can I just look at one at a time?
It's the same design.
Right, okay, so let's have a look. Basically, we've got a cane which feels like a 1, 2, 3, four-piece cane with a straight tip on the end, and a nice tactile grip on the handle, and then of course there's the obligatory bit of elasticated string for wrapping the cane together. Now, why is this cane particularly unique? What's the difference between this and, I mean, let me show you my cane that I've brought. This isn't actually my cane. This is one that I borrowed from a friend of mine. But what's the difference? I mean, that's
the difference is the tip. We got only a very simple tip made of aluminum.
Right.
Yeah.
So why should I use this cane? What's the difference with the cane that you have here?
You should have my canes because it's low cost. It costs $10.
Right.
And we try to employ these.
It feels very solid. Feels, you know, mine feels quite flimsy compared to this at $10.
Yeah.
You know, for $10 US, that is a very solid cane. It feels nice and rugged, a nice good, you know, solid construction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we don't make any benefits from this cane. We try to employ the disabled people to make it themselves. And we want to set up the workshop in the local country so disabled people in that country can employ themselves.
Right. Right. That's excellent. Well, thank you very much.
We
appreciate your time. Now, Cambodia. Tell us about Cambodia very briefly. You're the first person I've met from Cambodia. How many people are with your company? Where did your company come from, really? How did you guys get started?
The company is an English company.
Right,
a charity.
Right. That's been set up by some guys from England in Cambodia.
Yes.
Right.
It's with a big hair from England.
Yeah. So the idea being to develop some low-cost braille writing machines and to develop some canes which are manufactured locally and are very affordable and a good solid construction. Am I understanding all of this right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes, that's right. And we're going to set up a new workshop in South Africa, in Johannesburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're now also joined by Richard from DTW, the Development Technology Workshop, which is a charity set up by the British in Cambodia. And Richard's here. Hi, Richard.
Hi.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the history of the DTW and where it came from?
DTW is affiliated with the University of Warwick in the UK, in the north of England.
Uh-huh.
And they have an engineering department there. And one of the things that they sort of get involved with was demining. Picking out landmines, which is obviously a big issue.
Right.
And what happened really was they developed a machine in the UK,
went
out to test it in Cambodia, and then realised that actually, why don't we make it in Cambodia? Why don't it will give people disabled
Why
jobs?
Cambodia particularly? What was it about Cambodia?
Because it was demining, Cambodia has more landmines than most other countries. There's about
10
million landmines there, and it's a major, major problem. So we basically started...
And blindness as a result of many of those
landmines? Yes, obviously there's a lot of blindness there. I mean, there's more amputees though, because most landmines just blow your leg off as opposed to in your face.
Right.
So really what happened was that they decided to actually manufacture or try to manufacture the demining products in Cambodia.
Yeah.
Reason being, one is it's to improve their own industry sector of Cambodia.
Okay.
Give people real skills.
Yes.
Engineering, fabrication skills.
Yeah.
And obviously that is where it's going to be used as well. So we have about 50 staff, half of whom are physical amputees.
Mm.
We also have many people with AIDS, tuberculosis, a whole gamut of illnesses. And what we've done is really trained them from nothing all the way through. And now we have some of our staff are university lecturers on hydraulics, and it's really about sort of giving people real jobs.
So you're very much of the school of thought that you know, give a man a fish and feed him for a week, give him a you know, give him a fishing rod and he can feed him and his whole family for the rest of their lives.
I mean,
yeah.
We what we're trying to do is actually sort of create some almost entrepreneurship between these people. And you know, if we train someone, we are happy for them to move on, and if they can work in their village and become electricians, that's absolutely.
Or maybe train
exactly
other people
and train other people.
Yeah.
It's really about giving people real skills.
Wow.
And obviously, we have an end goal as well, which is we make humanitarian products. So we started off really making personal protective equipment for deminers and face visors, the clear visors.
Yeah.
And then it really grew into sort of more high tech stuff. And what we're quite famous for is we manufacture a machine called the Tempest.
Oh, right.
And it's a remote controlled vegetation clearance machine. So you put it into a minefield, it will clear all the trees, all the bush, and then the deminers can come in afterwards with metal detectors, with dogs, and it's a lot quicker. It's about 100% quicker.
That's incredible. So that I mean, presumably something like that will have taken quite a lot of R&D.
A huge amount of R&D.
You guys are a charity. You don't strike me as a particularly huge charity.
No, not at all. We have about four or five expatriate staff.
Yeah.
And really, it's been their input into it. We don't have any core funders, so when we design and make the machine, we sell the machine, the profit off that machine goes back into it.
Right.
So we don't have, we're not funded by Handicap International or anyone like that. We're very much product-based.
Right.
And we've really grown really away from trying to get away from completely relying on donor money at all.
Right.
Hence why we sort of get involved in other areas.
You want to sort of become self-sufficient, more like a non-profit than a charity.
Yeah, really. Well, we are non-profit. I mean, really, we want to get away from.
You are a registered charity, but you don't view yourself really as a charitable.
I mean,
obviously, you'd appreciate if somebody came along tomorrow and said, "Look, guys, here, Isaac.
Oh, obviously,
it's a few hundred grand." Yeah.
But what we're really about, I mean, it's not. I mean, the money side of it is we're not about really coming up with ideas. We want other people to say to us, look, we need to do this. This market, blind people need this. Can you manufacture it? We'll design it. Yes, we can.
Yeah.
And we normally get funded per product. So our World Braille was funded by Sight Savers International. And it's very similar to what we do is, here's X amount of money, we'll design it.
Mm-hmm.
And then basically afterwards we can make money on it when we sell it, and that money will just go straight back into the and what we're really trying to do is split all our products out and commercialise them and getting away from being reliant on donors' money.
Well, that's great. Thank you very much for your time. And where can people find out more information about your company?
We got the website.
Yes.
worldbrailer.com.
Okay, Richard and Ken, thank you very much. We very much appreciate you speaking with ACB Radio.
Thank you.